Thanks for coming.
Thanks for being here.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have Bulwer's hand or something?
Oh, I think I know what this is. Or maybe it was this one.
The little finger is on the heart meridian.
Oh.
And will simulate and get energize your heart.
Hi. Yeah?
That's exactly what you should do. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Well, there's Nan.
Where?
It's here.
Oh, there.
Those look so nice.
Oh, thank you. It's because I was working.
A classy gal.
Yes.
She makes up in appearance for what she lacks in motivation.
Thank you. There's a left-handed compliment if ever.
Stand her up before you knock her down.
Her annual review always has high marks for gets along well with others.
It's pathetic.
How does she do it?
I could say something about what I've been ruminating on.
Very good.
Since nobody else jumped into the middle here.
You're so fast.
What?
You're so fast.
Well, you hesitated.
I did.
When it comes to self-realization, Frank is more like a hummingbird.
That's good. I'll stick my beak at anything I can get it in. I might as well finish the metaphor.
His T-shirt reads, "Where's the sugar?"
So, when presented with the question, what is here? What is happening? My observation currently is not just an intellectual idea that there's nothing here. The only thing you see that the world is doing to create the world is manifesting memory. So in every instance, what shows up has nothing in it other than what is appearing. To make sense out of it, there's this huge immersion, collectively and individually, in memory, remembering what the words mean, what the rules of the road are. I mean, try driving a car without any memory. You're probably going to be dead pretty quickly, or somebody will blow the horn at you. Because the sensations of passing by, everything that there's to be seen, the sounds in the car, out of the car, are mildly overwhelming. You can't dwell in that. Better sit in the woods, you know, or on the lawn. That's what I'm noticing. That the world operates out of a collective agreement that will constitute it out of what we remember. Insults, activities, obligations, whatever it is. And I occasionally break through to that. I just can be present without any memories. And then it's pretty interesting what appears. I mean, shit comes out of left field. Things just happen. And I do pay them attention because God knows I have my memories about what's going on. But that's just what I'm noticing. So. Jamie's asking a question about what the hell's holding it together.
That's what it
appears holding it together. We've agreed to remember that to get here, we go up a stairs through a door.
So we presently experience a meme or a memory. And we act accordingly.
Right. No, but the circle, that's about it. The obliteration of your memories. Even though we try to come up with metaphors and speak and try to represent or communicate something of what the hell this is, but the complete immersion in story and memory is by and large allowed to just lay flat on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I that's my trying to figure out the, you know, we use the term moment all the time, and it seems to me that's sort of underrated. It's like sort of all there is in a way, you know. So moment I think of as this, you know, this continuously moving target. Moment is just moving at the same pace, maybe you could say, same pace as time is moving, which means there is essentially no time for the moment, you know. But the time track is sort of left behind.
You have to remember to make a time out of it, because it disappears. Immediately the next thing pops up, the freaking thing is gone.
Well, what's interesting,
it doesn't take any time to do that.
Yeah, and it's like we have, you know, it seems as though we have to be trained, you know.
Oh.
For memory.
Definitely. You
know?
Right.
You know, I mean, maybe if we were born in the woods and more animalistic, I mean, still there'd be memory. You know, it's just something natural. But the way it is now, you know, there's this enculturation process, just like driven into, you know, flashcards and all that jazz. You know, I mean, forcing the memory on.
And I remember Deepak Chopra saying once about, you know, where is the memory stored? You know, is it, it's probably not in our brains. It's probably, you know, it's from wherever.
Well, where's the cloud?
The cloud.
Come on, give me a break. Go find it.
I thought that was interesting, because there are times when you, you know, things just come to you all of a sudden. It's like, where did it come from? Mm. Or things that maybe you didn't know before, or maybe you forgot you knew, or whatever, and then suddenly it appears. Not at the moment where you want it to appear, but... So, but I think that's kind of interesting, too, like, where's the memory stored? Mm. And what about people that don't have a memory? You know, or that have part of their brain...
Probably called autistic. That's what they're called. They're just bouncing from moment to moment. I like it. Or whatever that's worth. I like it because I don't worry so much. I don't give a shit so much. It all looks like an entertainment. What the hell did I get upset about? It vanished.
On to the next thing.
What?
On to the next thing.
Yeah. It's like something's popping up all the time, disappearing, popping up. You want to hold on to some upset that just occurred? Well, God bless you. You carry around all for 40 years if you want.
Sometimes we do.
You can get enraged about it. My God. Mm-hmm. Regenerate it and get after it. I have nothing to do with that. I every once in a while, Rosemary catches me chuckling. It's like a tricky thing to do. So I'm not laughing at you, Rosemary. Just shit happening. So, people are holding on to stuff. Whoa. And it dissolves the question of what's next. There's no plan. I don't see it. I can make a plan. I don't know where the planning is going on, but something keeps popping up.
Same place the memory is stored.
Go catch it if you can.
Well, we can do futuring or, you know, imagining, I guess, but...
What's it going to be built on?
Yeah, it's built on memories.
Right.
So,
try to have an original future.
Yeah, and who knows? So you can't.
Well,
memories are faulty,
one.
You know, and wildly, I mean, incredibly complete. Yeah. So, good luck on futuring.
It's giving me a little power with my stockbroker. They're all fucking crazy. They want to build my account. They want to make me a lot of money. They can't believe that. Well, I'm okay. Listen, I'm flawed. I like to gamble. You're my vehicle for gambling. I'm not going to invest anything that's going to hurt me if I lose it. And if I make some money, I'll be entertained. No, I don't think I need to build millions. What the hell do I care? What am I going to do with them? And I cannot, I'm compulsively driven to gamble. 20 years of Debtors Anonymous has not touched it. It's located it. I haven't located it. I don't gamble with my business. I don't gamble with other money that I have tied up in other things. Damn it all, though, I have to mess around. I just need to do it.
Go, Franco.
What?
Go, Franco.
Where's the sugar?
That's it. I put my beak in it. I tell you.
Well, I guess my thing is that, you know, you hear, I mean, it's part of what we know. There's past, present, future. As if present is just a phase or something. When basically, it's all present.
Yeah.
It's just access to memories or memes or whatever, and imaginings, which are just constructed from them. I mean, I'm not saying anything different, but it's like...
Well, how do you make...
Present is a different... It's this everything. And the other stuff is just mechanistic, in a way, you know? It can be fabrication, or it can be just simply tapping back into recordings, old recordings. Mm-hmm. That's not anything like this continuous moment team, present team. You know, it's just a difference in emphasis. But it so affects, I mean, all this other stuff so affects it and conditions our present experience, you know. That I immediately, you know, I hear the one of them. Yeah, whatever. And I think of being in the backyard at home, and I think of different times. You know, it's like, bang, just like this signal. I mean, this constant trigger. You know, anytime there's something that comes up that's similar to some other time, it's immediate access, almost whether I wanted to or not, it seems. And oftentimes I don't want it to happen. You know, I would much rather it didn't. Especially,
aren't we wired that way as humans, though? I mean, isn't that...
It would seem that.
As babies, you know, like the process of growth?
Well, who knows how we're originally wired, but we certainly grow to be like that more often than not, I would say.
I mean, to learn a language, to learn behavior, to...
Certainly. Yeah. And if it's not forcefully done, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But it tends to get violent. It seems to me.
Tends to get
violent. You know, it's harshly done. It's done in such a way. We're tested to death. You know, we're stressed to death. You know, by competition. So these reflections that we have are not casual. They're, you know, we're not just gliding down the hill. We're like ramming it down, and we're putting force behind it. You know. And that just, to me, that throws everything out of kilter. Because I suffer from this. Most people do in some ways.
It appears to be an almost unbearable experience to stay in the presence of a moment and just witness what happens.
Don't stay then.
I just say it appears to be. Because what is surrounding me when I move around in my day is all the interpretations, all the motivations, swallowing up that moment.
Distracting you from feeling it.
Calling me. But I can hear the nothing. That's what's shifting.
Yes.
I'm actually developing it. There's a feeling for the nothingness, for the void.
Yes.
Go ahead and speak. Quiet. Rant and rave. It's quiet. It disappeared. Where I was, my recollection of my earlier experiences, what really wired into what somebody is saying as an interpretation or a veil thrown over the current moment.
Sure.
And making up a lot of meaning, a lot of distress.
Yes.
You know, it's funny though, I had an experience last week where I was kind of surprised at myself. I thought, gosh, how'd you get here, and why don't you just let it go, why don't you just be in the present moment, you know. But in retrospect, being in that place got me to another place. And it wasn't until I was in that place that I realized, all right, it served a purpose, because now I'm in a better place. You know, if I hadn't allowed myself to be stuck, I guess, it kind of, being stuck kind of freed me for the next moment. You know what I mean?
Did you allow yourself to be stuck?
Yeah.
So you had something to do with it?
Yes. Well, it had to do with the mind, you know, just ruminating and not letting go. You know, just kind of being upset with someone and just kind of...
And that became...
Let that go.
That became the preferred affliction?
For a moment, anyway.
Yeah, but you know, it wound up having a good little purpose and kind of freed me up after I went through it. Kind of, it's almost like having a good cry.
Sure.
So that, you know, it's kind of a release for, you know, the next.
Yes.
The next phase. It's kind of releases it. So you know, I guess it's. I don't have any regrets about that, but it's just a different way to go. Right? And you wind up thinking, it's not right or wrong. It just is. No?
Yes. You can notice that any commentary brought to bear on something that is appearing in your imagination is likely to be self-satisfying or self-dissatisfying. You can't really tell.
It's not around long enough.
But if you're, let's say, orienting to the recollection of what was a distasteful or perhaps burdensome psycho and emotional relationship with something that did or did not happen, then you can look back and maybe take credit, for whether you were able to successfully rid yourself of the affliction or voluntarily committed yourself to the affliction. Then, in hindsight, after you noticed you were in a different and perhaps better place, that you want to credit yourself for having permitted yourself to having suffered the original affliction, because it was the reason you got to a better spot. Had you known earlier on that you would end up in a better spot, you would have even struggled with it less, right? So you place yourself in the picture, in the equation, as the sufferer, as the afflicted, as the one that either voluntarily or involuntarily showed up, allowing the affliction as if you had anything to do with it in the first place. And then you notice after the fact that you ended up in a better place, which then creates the hallucination that it had some purpose. And in this case, the purpose turned out to be in your favor. But we're not sure if you're vying for the next affliction so that it will also bring you to a better place. And we can't say how many better places we need to stack up in a day or a week or a lifetime so that maybe we can discover the ultimate best place. You see? So, but by conjuring it the way that we are all so miraculously capable of doing, it assures that you had something to do with something. Mm-hmm. Or that you were the beneficiary of an involuntary suffering that then you allowed, which permitted you to get to a better place, which now you are the enjoyer of, for however long you enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the entire exposition of that wonderful chronology is made up right here on the spot, because nothing actually happened to you at all. It didn't happen to you then, and it's certainly not happening to you now, but fill the airspace, you know, right?
Gotta fill the airspace
with some shit that looked like my spiritual life's going my way. Yeah, or whatever the motive is, you know, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah, so this is contemporaneously appearing, spontaneously appearing myth, entertainment. Yeah. And it doesn't really say anything about anything. And it doesn't actually create self because it can't. But it sure appears as if now you're on the receiving end of self. Maybe you're scanning the horizon for the next better place to be in, or the next lamentable affliction that may assist you in being in a better place. You see? But it keeps you in the game.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And that's just anecdotal hysteria. That's all it is. It doesn't make you good, bad, or anything. No judgment, no nothing. No consequence of anything spoken here. There's just no consequence of anything that may be said. You know? So nothing can stick to you. Nothing can improve you. Nothing is meant to insult or denigrate anyone. It's just, hey, look at the peculiar, impersonal hallucination appearing right now. That's all. If we insist, and we often do for decades, lifetimes maybe, that, oh, no, I am a self. I am a marvelous, individuated being. Moral, good to the core. Sometimes I fuck up, but I am on a straight course to self-realization. Make no mistake. You see, so as long as these kinds of identification modules, call them modules, are appearing in your immediate consciousness, then you are just on the receiving end of a profound, if not entertaining, delusion, which is everyone's, of course, entitled, right, to be absolutely immersed in by delusional entertainment from moment to moment. From week to week, day to day, hour to hour, lifetime to lifetime.
You can find a lot of company.
There's heaps. Heaps of delusion and heaps of company to enjoy it with.
And Isis is waiting. You can join.
Yeah. Now, before a story is told, even though these reminiscences are all, you know, they're delightful, why not? But before a story is told, the fact is, and I'll use the word the fact is, with no confidence or authority whatsoever, that you don't know, have any idea what this is. We seem to forget conveniently or inconveniently, ignore conveniently or inconveniently, that we just don't know what this is at all, not even a little bit. And yet, right, we pounce on this like a tiger or a big cat and espouse great reminiscences about what we think our experience was, and it makes it appear as if we got this. And all of that is just acting. It's acting. Baudelaire. That's all it is. Right here, right now, though there is no right here or right now, not to get excited by it. You don't know what this is. But you might discover a peculiar delight, a peculiar curiosity or interest, an affinity for this. And that affinity is purely textural. It's of a feeling nature, not sentimental. It's of a feeling nature. That feeling nature and one's relationship with this primacy as a feeling nature has no obstacle. There's nothing, there's no middle man or middle woman between you, what we refer to as you, maybe the biological system, maybe the emotional, psychiatric personality system, but there is no separation or obstacle between you, whatever that infers, and the feeling of this. It's a perfectly effortless spontaneity, concomitant spontaneity, the feeling of this. And as your awareness tunes to the feeling of this without filling the airspace with a charming story, find out what happens. Discover what occurs in the atmosphere of your firsthand experience simply by, oh, feeling this, seeing that there is no border, boundary, intermittency, or agency between you and presence, this presence, your presence.
Could we say that the notion of self is really constituted of a feeling, and it is preparation for feeling this? Whoa.
Yes, I mean...
We could.
You always can. If you're looking at it kind of as a longitudinal poem.
Well, is
right? The genesis of self.
What I'm saying is that it's not mysterious. We already have to walk around with the imagined self. And it really is no more than a feeling. There's no evidence for it. You can't constitute it. You think you have, you're something. And what do you give up in order to have feeling for this?
What do you give up?
The feeling for self.
Okay.
That's all I'm trying to make it.
Yeah? Yes or not?
Mm-hmm.
Because even the notion of...
I don't...
Right?
Yeah,
being
it's
the,
not true. But.
Being the holder of the feeling of self
mm-hmm.
is just a, right, a fleeting... It's a fleeting imagination. So, but it's,
except that there's 7 billion of us that we're going to walk, that are walking around absolutely convinced that they're feeling and they have a feeling of self.
Well, there might be 7 billion apparitions appearing in your experience, but you don't know what they're thinking or feeling.
That's true, I don't. But if where would you take the time
to interview them?
To interview all of them. Say, who the hell are you? I'm Frank. I'm Jeff.
Even if you were to interview them mm-hmm. and they were to share with you intimately and sincerely and hold nothing back, you'd still have no idea that they were anything but a ghost in your machine. Yeah. Your experience alone is the sovereign fact of being. Nobody else's being.
Conjuring going up.
Well, if you don't exist, they don't exist.
Well, existence is not all that practical measure. Mm-hmm. I mean, schools of thought, you know, that might suggest this or you or whatever doesn't exist. It doesn't really have that much utility.
Okay.
It's not all that. It's not even worth getting in all that involved in the existence or non-existence question.
Uh-huh.
Simply because... If there is anything present as you, as experience, as your irrefutable nature, as the irrefutable texture of that you are, that this is, call it the I am, I don't really care what you call it, you know, call it Deepak Chopra's hairpiece, I don't care, right? Then there's whatever that is for you. You want to call that existence? Fantastic. You want to refer to the irrefutable observation of yourself as non-existence? Knock yourself out. What the hell's the difference? You know? Not much difference.
It's all conjured.
It's all conjured anyway, yeah. So
more often than not, it's probably called consciousness. Sometimes.
Well, any word that we use...
Yeah, sure.
Find me the word that tells the truth. You won't find a single one.
Or a multitude of them.
Not a single one.
In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God.
What
does that mean?
That's fairly circumloquacious. Yeah. Right? I mean, what can words do but refer to themselves primarily? Or refer to irrefutability. But as a word refers to irrefutability, the word is not the thing. Even though U.G. Krishnamurti would say, well, what the hell else is it then? J. Krishnamurti used to make a big shebang out of the word is not the thing, right? Pointing at the moon and saying moon is not the profundity, the texture, the light, the wonder of peering at the moon. So J. Krishnamurti would always say, hey, the word's not the thing. Then U.G. Krishnamurti, listening to J. Krishnamurti in the audience for God knows how many years, finally just got up and walked the fuck out because he just couldn't take it anymore. And he became his own man, if you know, to coin a phrase. And then he would say, well, what the hell else is it then? Which was just as valuable as saying the word's not the thing. Of course the word's the thing. What is true? If you're not imagining something, if you're not using the movement of memory, conditioning, thought, association to tell yourself or someone else whom you like or don't like a story, what is true?
I mean, the only thing that I can say is absolute truth is that there's this something.
It gets fuzzy, right?
Yeah.
It does get fuzzy. It's as irrefutable as anything can be. But going beyond that immediately gets fuzzy.
Well, you're using words to construct something. And absolutely not quite adequate to the test.
We all have our own meanings of words, too, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, you can say, this is life, or this is truth, and we all have different ideas of what that is, right? So
we're all insane. The reason to bring the observation or the question up is, again, to, let's call it highlight or reinforce, that the texture of this present moment appearing in you as you, which we call experiencing, is whatever you care to say about it. And what you say about it is going to be partial, impartial, and inaccurate, because anything said or thought about it is going to be representational, referential. So that's how one conjures self. You see? Self is conjured through partial, referential notions in feeling and language that conjure a sense of a right durable, continuous being as self.
Well, then what follows then is getting an enormous amount of agreement.
Enormous amount of?
Of agreement about what's conjured. So that it then looks like what is real.
Okay, so
I'm
yes.
I'm an Arab.
Right.
And I get some more Arabs. Or I'm an Israeli and I get more Israelis.
Yes.
Now now we exist.
Maybe. I mean, anecdotally, you could say it kind of looks like that, you know, on the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
But it's subtler than that. And the, let's say the attention here is just on the immediacy of you. Not the presence or agreement with other apparitional beings to say, right, us. We'll leave us off the table for a moment.
Well, we are enough.
Well, no, there's just your experience. There's no we, and there's no us, and there's no are. But if you want to hold hands with everyone on the planet and sing Kumbaya fucking ya, let's see if we can whip that, you know, up. Why not? It's been tried before. You see, other than the profound, mysterious, fuzzy irrefutability of your present experience, what the fuck is there? You can only imagine their meaning create an hallucination for yourself, either afflictively or otherwise, about what this is or isn't. That's how what we refer to as self spins. It's imagery. You're a mirage. Whatever you hold true or untrue, likable or unlikable, preferential or non-preferential, about what you think the world is a mirage. And you might notice that living in or as a mirage could turn out not to be all that satisfying.
Well, is it back and forth, though? I mean, once you know you're a mirage, right, in a really deep way that I can't articulate, then if you go into imagination, I mean, it's like you're not going to cease to stop imagining, are you?
Well, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
No. There's no point in placing yourself or anyone else in a condition other than now, where something may or may not occur. Because you don't know what's happening now. So why take it on the road and then pretend something's sure to happen later?
Okay.
You see?
Yeah.
You see? When we create, we'll call it, the spiritual hypothetical.
Right.
It was just another way of saying, well, what about me?
Well, I'm so used to relying on memory that it's hard to not speak from memory. I find it...
Let's say it's impossible, but so what? Speak anyway.
Maybe speaking in tongues.
Fine. We'll go out to a deli.
Yeah. Count tongues.
Tongue tacos. They have that.
I made a tongue tie. Tongue cheek.
So it's not helpful to kind of think of those. It's not.
It's nothing. Nothing's helpful. Nothing's unhelpful.
Yeah.
You see, you
this is a verbal kind of exercise, so sometimes it's hard to know. You know, unless we just sit and stare.
You could say, if there's any utility, and hopefully there's not, of having a verbal or expressive exercise.
Yeah.
Is to notice carefully how one has to create the laws of the universe that you then need to inhabit to figure something out about. That's why it's useful, because you can see how quickly you create, with generally no recognition of the laws of the universe, that then something is true or untrue about.
Yeah, we assume the truth of those laws.
Yes, that's right. And if, as we can appreciate whatever is occurring, a question arises, an anecdote, a reflection, a story about oneself, whatever is arising, if you look at it clearly from kind of a curious, if not mischievous, emptiness, you'll see that you're first creating the laws of a universe that don't actually exist, and then you're trying to accuse yourself or somebody else of something being true or untrue. But if you see that, and then it's not like you need to stop and go Mauna and go on the top of a mountain, but if you do, send us a postcard. I'm sure there'll be lovely photographs. But if you see it, as you see it presently, then it's okay. It's not a problem. But you're not held captive to your own imagination. Then you're, let's say, more relaxed. You're not creating a self that then you feel compelled to occupy and then say things about. Because there's no self, no self, no self. There's never a self, never a self. And there's no self. It's just this. There's just this fuzzy irrefutability. Self is conjured. Past is conjured. Expectation of future is conjured. An afflictive visitation And its resolution, a day, a week, an hour later, is...
You gotta wash this thing, though.
You have to...
Wash it.
Wash it.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's... It's great to say there's no self, and then you start to stink after 3 days.
Yes. 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 Right. But no self is, you know, we like to think that there's no self as if that's even true. Or that, or therefore our experience of life or our behavior should somehow look differently or feel differently because there's no self. Well, there's so no self. Which is completely untrue, as much as it's true. But it doesn't have any utility for the likes of you. Or what you're experiencing. Or whether you smell nice or you don't smell so nice. You see?
Yeah.
Gone. Gone. Why not get pissed off? Or not? Why not be afflicted? And either remain so or find a clever way out. And then maybe that affliction brings you to a happier place, or maybe it brings you to a worse place, because now you're open to an affliction that you never thought you'd ever want to see again. We don't know. But when we look at the, you know, the notion of, let's say, a spiritual master, whatever gender or animal they may be, you know, whether it's the spiritual master of the mineral kingdom, the insect kingdom, right? The bird kingdom, it doesn't, the mammalian, the human, it doesn't matter, you know. They're all lying. They can't help it. And B, there's no point in trying to emulate anyone, including what you might think as an idealized solution for you. And we know as seekers that the habit, the seduction of trying to emulate someone else or ourselves as, quote, enlightened, is a bear. It's a drag. It's a fucking buzzkill. You feel yourself quite naturally as referenceless. That happens to be the primacy of you, absolutely without reference. Mm-hmm. No encumbrance from the past.
Can we be referenceless and still have a normal life in American society?
Well, if that's your goal...
Not necessarily, but I don't want to drop dead necessarily.
Well, that's the thing. When you, in some ways, when you just kind of disappear, once that awareness is like so profound, if the universe disappears, everything disappears.
It's been reported that occurs. But whoever reported it must have come back.
Imagine that. I mean, how does that work?
Imagine that. Just imagine that. You see, again, you're looking for some kind of idealized consequence.
I mean, but it just seems like, yeah, I know I'm still in the future. I hear you.
Okay.
I don't really know what to do about that. But.
Nothing. Don't worry about it. Yeah, nothing. No, play with it.
Yeah.
Be where you like to be. Be
but
yourself.
It just seems like that's come up, that idea, and I know I'm in the past and in the future and all that stuff. But if the awareness becomes profound enough that there's nothing, then you just...
The awareness is profound enough that there is nothing.
Yeah.
Right about now.
I know, but I still see things. And
so? Maybe what you think is... Maybe what you're calling I see things is not.
Yeah.
You know, this whole thing about effort, though. You know, if we put forth effort to... not be referential.
Yes.
All that seems to do is just bring up the referential.
Then stop it.
Yeah, but if we focus on stopping that, it still does that.
Stop that.
It's like how many turtles are holding up the earth.
Oh, something. Good question. Yeah. Well, there's nothing here to do or not do. If something is appearing in your experience that looks like a knock-knock, who's there, which may appear to be effortful or effortless, well, so? You see, again, we'd like to think that we are indeed of some kind of durable nature that is going to get this right someday, hopefully. But before then, we're going to get it wrong a lot. You see, so we can't help but to to frame the fuzzy miracle of present irrefutability through some kind of experiential deliverable.
What if there is no purpose to anything?
Okay.
Now where are we?
Good question. If there were a where and a we, maybe we can answer it.
Right. It just seems to me that, you know, the kind of thinking, the kind of awareness of the present moment and letting go of self and that kind of thing.
Yes.
Has to be learned. And to me it seems, you know, talking about being referential, like you're born in bodies and they're...
No. No, that's not the case. No one's born, nor are there any bodies. But if you like that, yeah, right.
This group seems to be much bigger.
It's a more sinister group than you realize.
You see, just keep an eye out on the conclusions that you're drawing for the universe that you're creating. Mm-hmm. We are born in bodies. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure where you got that from. But I would just invite you to, you know, give it a second thought. Because once you insist for yourself, yeah, we are born in bodies,
yeah,
where do you think you're going? Well, pretty much into a brick wall at high speed.
Right.
All you know is right here, right now. Nothing. You don't know anything else. I'm not singling you out. No one knows anything else.
It's an imagination.
What is?
This.
Okay. It's also not imaginary at all. I don't. Right? Some guru on that corner says it is all a dream, and some guru on that corner says he is an idiot.
True.
You know what I mean? What?
Yeah,
I mean, in a way, it's the best reality we have. I mean, what else is...
Well, I hope it's the best, because it sure as fuck is the only one.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's all kinds of infinity of conjured realities, you know. But
apparently so.
I mean, to me, that's the... I have to state that this... whatever... is...
It's a strong statement.
Truly,
this, whatever.
The only reality that I can be sure of.
Huh?
That's all that happens.
What happens?
You can stammer. That's all. Stammer.
All right. Well, things are looking up a minute ago. We were never going to hear or see from you again. Now at least you're here and stammering. Things are going your way. From total dissolution and, you know, non-existence to, you know, someone that's stammering. At least maybe you can get a hot meal. How do you say burrito? Please. You see, again, we're on the lookout for a practicality, a consequence. Well, what's going to happen to this or me once my so-called awareness, right, becomes smarter than it is right now? And maybe I'm thrilled if my conclusion is all existence just blinks out of existence, and not so thrilled if I remain the enjoyer of old age, sickness, and death, stammering, I don't know what happens. You see, if there is such a thing as freedom, well, it has to be now. It has to be here. It has to be felt completely non-referentially. Otherwise, right, what do you got? You got an idea. You got maybe an idealized expectation. You got a story about what you think happened to you prior to this moment. You're a product of hallucination, a product of reference, a product of anecdotal hysteria, which doesn't necessarily mean freedom is not also so. It's just you're not, maybe not noticing it.
In a way, it's such a subtle thing. I mean,
In a way.
It's just a shift of emphasis. It's just a not taking it as seriously, you know.
Yes.
All this serious stuff that's happening.
What serious stuff?
Well,
the stuff that I stopped taking so seriously.
Yeah, all the seemingly serious stuff. God, like.
You could say that it is a shift in emphasis.
Perspective.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That. Yes. Just back off. Just back completely off.
For somebody like that, me.
Yeah.
Pretty tall, really.
Well, you're a tall guy. You're up for it. Simply back off from investing spontaneously and impersonally arising metaphor. Back off from investing in it as self.
Well, that's what I was talking about earlier.
Let's go back to it then.
See, what was that word? That big old word? That
delicatessen.
No.
Oh.
Circumlocutious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like that. I mean, it is like.
Is that whatever goes around comes around? Is that? No.
Sure.
I'm not positive.
It just keeps.
Circum is circle, loquacious is words.
Okay.
No wonder we couldn't get a handle on he's talking in circles.
That's all you can do. All you can do is talk in circles. Round up the wagons.
Could we take a little moment and look at, I don't know if anybody loves baseball the way I do.
I think everyone here does.
Oh, really?
For the what?
Baseball. Look, the language in baseball. is you do not carry what just happened into the next moment. A pitcher's got to forget the home run. A batter has to forget the strike.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
They train, teach.
The psychiatry of baseball is
there's no past.
Present and forward.
It's only present.
Yeah. Yeah.
What if we say that our appearance, our seeming appearance,
yes,
as a being,
right,
it just keeps appearing and disappearing.
Okay.
Just like the moment in baseball.
Okay.
There's this pitch.
Right.
Deal with it.
But it's easier than that. You don't know what this is. Stay there. All the metaphors are lovely, and as they come up, you know, write them down. Create acres of poetry. Absolutely. And while you're creating acres of poetry, put it all down. Put yourself down. Because freedom is not acquired. Learned is a very interesting question, because you can go, you know, a couple of very lovely ways with the, you know, the suggestion of learned. But this is awake. this is unencumbered. This is not the consequence of anything, nor is it going anywhere, nor does it have any destiny to fulfill. So it's already pretty much done. And we are, you could say, taught, conditioned, trained. I don't know, we used the word earlier, wired, which suggests, right, what we kind of came in with, right? To suggest that wired means we have a biologic predisposition.
Indeed.
Right? A spiritual, whatever, predisposition to think, to feel, to experience a certain way, on top of which we get the parents and the teachers and the media and the Koch brothers and the CDC and everything else that's out to kill you. Yeah. Right. And even with all the profundity of the symptoms that appear to be occurring to not just this species, but all of them, right, all of them, still this is absolutely unencumbered and unconditional and not the result of anything and not going anywhere, nor does it have a destiny to fulfill. Now, when it comes to learning the art and texture of a rainbow body that hearkens to its own nature for nourishment, then, yeah, you could say that a conversation like this one is held in a manner of speaking to reinforce a first-hand discovery that this feels the way it does.
Can you refer to rainbow body?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, the metaphor of rainbow body is, you know, you as a, let's say, a luminescence, not as a, right, not as a physicality, right? The subtle, pranic, luminescent nature of awareness. That's what the Tibetans, you know, call the rainbow body, right? It's photonic. You're photonic. Before you are corporeal, you're photonic. And even modern day physics will say, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. So that's in the, you know, Tibetan thing, the notion, the gesture is the recognition of rainbow body, that you are primarily photonic, subtle beyond imagination, before you appear to yourself as corporeal. Yeah.
It's interesting the way you're describing it sounds like an individual rainbow body.
Yes, yes, that's right. Yep. Yep. Hearkening, you know, again, accurately or inaccurately, that you are, your experience is sovereign. You're the sole proprietor. Not to impose individuation. Now, if we try to, and we do, right? You could say we are trained to try to interpret our way into and out of things. The way to conjure a universe is through shuffling and then, what's that, dealing the cards. And the cards are just, they're just notions, they're memes, they're references. Shuffling the cards, you create a universe, right? If you put the deck down, no one's got a hand. So if there's a training, and there is a training, there's always been a training. Feel this. Become, what would you say, profoundly comfortable and easeful with yourself without reference. Now, some schools might emphasize the renunciation aspect as if there's things that you, one, should get rid of. Right? That's the renunciation aspect. Yes. So when you look at the monastic traditions, you're getting this message of, oh, well, I don't have sex, and I only have these clothes, and I carry a bowl, and I don't handle money, and, you know, the fetters of the world are not mine to hold. So that, you could say, is this kind of renunciation approach. It's bullshit. It doesn't work. But there's plenty of cultures that make it look kind of appealing, and you can go on a tour bus and wave at the monks and the nuns. Oh, look, people that don't have sex and don't hold money. Oh.
And that's just the married couples on the trip.
Yeah. And that's just the people on the bus. The other appeal is, don't bother with renunciation. Because you never had anything in the first place to give up. You were never the consequence of any kind of affliction that you should bother trying to give something up. That's, you know, left-hand path. Bird, whatever, the metaphors are many. These, in those traditions, you go, right, whatever that means, to the irrefutability of this present moment. That's it. Done. And that wasn't so hard because you're already here. Honey, they canceled the tour. Oh, well. Why don't we sit down on the deck and have some coffee then? We'll never get enlightened at this rate. That's okay. We'll listen to Coast and smoke a doobie.
Just wonder the way to base
it. How do you get Coast to Coast? Where does that stream?
1210.
1210?
A.M.
Oh, okay.
We're on the web. Yeah. Honey, there's an alien in the backyard. Should I bring out the fine china? You always have at your disposal yourself and, curiously, you're already free. So when it comes to learning, it goes both ways. You positively learn by participating in a conversation or an exercise which emphasizes feeling this as it is. That's a positivity. The other side is unlearning, and they work together, unlearning the confidence that you place in your own hysteria. So if we can get you coming and going, we're just likely to be more successful when it comes to the self-recognition of what's referred to as realization.
So this whole self /non-self
yeah.
thing, is yeah. that just a bunch of crap? I mean,
like everything else. Of course it is.
It's inconsequential to any...
All references are inconsequential to...
It seems like the basic reference. Good starting reference.
And doesn't it mean different things? Like, I get confused by the whole self thing. Because sometimes it's like your higher self, and then sometimes it's like your ego, it seems like people are saying.
Same with God, same with love.
Yeah.
Sure.
Pick a word, we'll find confusion.
Any word, yeah.
Profound confusion, entertaining confusion, luscious confusion, fuzzy confusion. Pick a word, pick a feeling, pick an idea, tell a story. What will you have? Luscious confusion.
Aren't words just an extension of the manifestation of the image of self?
Okay.
We just use them when we think they're constituted.
Yes. Well, but see, the challenge for you, right? And everyone's challenge is a little different, right? From moment to moment.
This is for the hummingbird.
Yeah. You see, the challenge for you is you are thrilled, and communicably so, in, you know, the next fun insight. And that's contagious. Mm. It's lovely. But put it down. Mm. There are no words.
Right.
And so they're not the anything of anything of anything having to do with anything, reflecting anything. You see? Once we make a thing, then we're likely to want to hold it responsible, or the result of, or the consequence of something else that we're creating. And then we have
the whole chain,
a Bible.
A reality. Yeah,
that's right. Then you have a liturgy. Yeah. And that is fun. Reams of poetry. So the challenge, depending on how the personality is shifting, right? Everyone's got their shtick, right? Your nature, your predilection, what turns you on, what doesn't, what you're attracted to, what you're not, how you like to play with this, how you don't, things that, like you get down with, things that you don't want to hear about. So we've all got, a very wonderful kind of custom-made relationship or response with infinity. So if we're looking at splitting you, like the Carlos Castaneda metaphor, right? Don Gennaro was on the left and Don Juan was on the right, and they were whispering into Carlos's ear, and they split him. You see?
That's right.
Yeah. And the splitting is the letting go of all reference, right? It's the awakening of the rainbow body. Or the let's just call it the revelation of the rainbow body. So that's what that metaphor was. Right? So we're doing the same thing. How do we do it? Well, through this kind of dual notion of training and untraining. The training is sit the fuck down and love yourself. Beyond boundary and border. That's the positive side. The other side is the untraining. You're an idiot. Shut the fuck up.
There's nothing but bullshit coming out of your mouth.
That's right.
Why are you talking?
That's right. So we're participating, involuntarily, most likely, in a splitting. We're breaking the back of the apparent continuity of rationality. Mm. Because rationality hasn't worked out in your favor.
It never will.
No, it never will. Irrationality happens to be exactly what this is. Fuzzy, bizarre, inconsequential, unaccountable irrationality.
And peculiar. I like that word.
And peculiar. Yes.
Not to be picky with phrases and words.
No, why be picky-oon with peculiar?
Wouldn't non-rational be better than irrational? Irrational sounds like chaos.
That's right.
Non-rational just means it's... Not
you want chaos. You don't want non-rational. You want irrational. It is chaos. Realization is chaos. What does chaos suggest? That you simply can't stitch anything together.
That's disturbing.
I'm glad you feel that way. To me, that would suggest that it's working.
It works the exact opposite, and everything is stitched together. Right?
Yes, you can go there. We are all one. I hate that, but use it.
I hate that.
It is disturbing. Not to itself. To itself, it's Marco Polo. Marco Polo. Marco Polo. It's a pool party on Labor Day. But to you, it's disturbing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. It is irrational, more profoundly than it is non-rational and chaotic to the point of dissolution. Gloriously so. Srinivasan from years ago would hold his hands high in the sky and thank God for the glorious suicide.
The
glorious suicide. The revelation of irrationality. Chaos. Glorious suicide. He wasn't kidding around. You were saying?
Oh, just that sometimes with the disturbing, because it's me, I guess, filtering that, it's sort of like, well, how come this is desirable? Because why? You know?
Good question. That's right. To you, it's not.
Yeah.
This circle is small.
Yeah.
Why is that? Well, I'm a poser. That's principally why. But beyond that,
could be summons up in this imagination.
But beyond that is that not that many people, if there were any, are signed up joyfully for irrational chaos. Because it's disturbing.
Is it like ayahuasca, where that disturbing, if it's you're keyed in, it's like that rapid fire imagery, zoom, 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 you know, like that kind of thing, if I was tuned in? Because that would be kind of uncomfortable.
Well, you don't know that.
You, as this,
yeah,
are capable of that vision, unaided by.
And again, I have to say, that's desirable because.
Right. So this is capable, yeah, of that, yeah, view without,
yeah,
the drug intervention. And yes, wouldn't it be stressful if you found yourself on the receiving end of a data stream,
yeah,
that was, right, unendingly.
Well, if you had the self,
chaotic.
If your self still's intact, you know, right?
Yes.
So if the self disappears, then it's just, whatever.
It's
another illusion.
Right? Yeah.
It's subtle, because what this is always what it is. So it's profoundly appearing just in the way that you described right now. We're just not noticing it. Concomitantly, though it is an irrational stream of chaotic input, appearing in itself,
mm-hmm,
it can also be, let's say, felt. Non-stressfully. There's an unlimited, can we say, number or permutation of plateau in which this can appear to itself in your experience.
Uh-huh. Okay, so one of them could be a stressful plateau.
Or it could be bliss.
Yeah.
Same.
And it's all referential, right? I mean, that this is where we have whatever feelings that we've gained from certain experiences, and it harkens back to those feelings. So we could feel like lost and out of control, and oh my God, something's
going to
happen.
You're on a roller coaster, you're having a panic attack.
And yeah, and
it's
so
it's
you're
going to. It's a good trip or a bad trip.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, but that's who is that having those feelings? That's this ego body.
Sure. No.
Thing, you know.
Recognize that. Yeah.
Once mind, you can see, yeah. Once we go hypothetical. Once you go hypothetical, right, you've created a hallucinatory atmosphere.
Oh, so if you don't
like
go
normal.
Hypothetical.
Here we are.
Yeah.
There's nothing hypothetical here.
Yeah, this is not hypothetical.
This is like the only thing that we are not finding hypothetical. It seems like most times. It's fancy.
I don't know what most times means.
No, I don't
know. I thought you were going to try to sit in that little chair. I really did.
No, this is
that, would
like
be, that would be
freezing
really
in my space.
Psychedelic, yes. Alice in Wonderland.
The Mad Hatter has arrived.
He thinks he can do that.
Let's see what happens.
He's sitting in a baby chair and sipping tea with his pinky.
Jamie, is it on low?
It is on low.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it is.
Seek nothing from this. Which is a way of releasing one's self from attempting to infiltrate a hypothetical. As you give yourself up, which it does not require any effort. In other words, even if you could exercise effort, it would fail anyway. So, hello, it's, oh, it's just this. There's no need to give yourself up. You see, what you're relinquishing, if you're relinquishing anything, is the habit to create hypotheticals that you then want to inhabit as a durable being.
If it's that too, then how come we can't?
Can't what?
Do a hypothetical thing.
You can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Bravo. Acting. Perfect.
Well, I like the idea that you don't have to get somewhere to, you know, become this blissful. It
can start as an idea, and then it will be very demanding.
I mean, that's what, you know, nirvana and, you know, ultimate bliss. It seems like all the spiritual paths go for that. And how successful are they? Yeah.
Good question. We'll have to interview. You know,
the
I mean,
7 billion people.
Yeah, we'll have. So, how's it going? You've been doing the Course in Miracles for how long? How's it going?
Because then you always feel like you haven't gotten there, right? It's always going to be disappointing. I'm not blissful yet.
Yeah, you see what happens? Yeah.
God damn it.
I was yesterday, but I'm not now. It's a good release in that one.
The habit is that we want to take the myth of durable being on the road. Mm-hmm. So we want to occupy the different experience a moment from now in a more idealized or palatable manner than what this already is. So the moment that we attempt to take the imagination of a non-durable self as a durable self on the road to fulfill an idealized experience, you're fucking dreaming again. So in that respect, as we can see and feel the geometric consequences of creating hypotheticals and then attempting to occupy them, we're dreaming. And so there's no satisfaction there. It doesn't mean you have to stop or start or do anything. You just see that if I'm reaching, if I'm presuming this to be durable and taking it on the road for a futuristic, idealized fulfillment, you're dreaming. You haven't put yourself down. You've tied a nice red ribbon around your head and you're heading out the door for spiritual fulfillment.
And there's still the nagging duality of bliss and suffering and ups and downs and ins and outs and all that.
This is not the opposite of anything. Bliss is the opposite of something. Mm-hmm. This is not.
Meaning this is absolute.
Absolutely. What else could it be? It is absolute.
I'm trying to interpret it through a referential framework.
That's right. Yes. So you can get a sense of the wisdom of collapse. And the irrefutability of your present experience is the best evidence you have for awake. Just this. No other experience can compete with it.
When you said that there was splitting.
Say again?
You said that you were talking about the splitting.
Splitting.
You come here to learn something and then at the same time letting go of something.
Unlearn and learn. Yeah, well,
the learn piece, what's the unlearn?
The unlearn is to see the habit of creating yourself as a durable entity attempting to inhabit a hypothetical future and everything that accompanies that. You need to unlearn. One needs to unlearn the habit of selfing, the habit of creating yourself or hoping to create yourself and fulfill a future.
That's selfing.
And then all the language and all the vocabulary and all the curious and marvelous habits that we all have that do that. So we're putting our neck out to reveal, not to each other because no one's really interested in anyone else in the room, to reveal to yourself what the curious signature of your own deferral habits are. That's the unlearning. You see what the deferral habits are that appear naturally in your persona. You get a nice chuckle, and you are less enamored of them. And it's not universal, because everyone has their own, right, customized weirdness when it comes to what this is or isn't. Unlearn the myth of yourself. Learn the profundity of yourself. And why not do it at the same time? Why go to two meetings?
Is this the learning or the unlearning?
Could be a whole weekend seminar.
101 and 102.
Chance.
It seems like the unlearning could be phrased as give up hope as well. Like unlearning could be like giving up the hope that anything I do now is going to get me what I think I seek tomorrow or the next.
Let's make it more lethal than that.
It feels pretty lethal.
Good. Let's tighten the noose. Who's the I that's going to do or not do anything about this? As in, give something up or not give something up. Your presence is pristine. There's not anyone in there that could possibly benefit or suffer from doing something or not doing anything. You're not in possession of anything to give up.
But it seems the doing or the not doing, all that keeps the, it keeps that in place.
All you can do is report on what's present. Because the truth is right now. If you try to remark on what you thought was happening to you 10 minutes ago, or what you hoping might happen to you 10 minutes hence, you're lying. We won't hold you accountable. You see, you can only report on now. You can't report on anything other than presence, because it's just made up. You see? Right now, are you the consequence of anything? Are you in possession of something that you would could possibly benefit by giving up? No.
Can't have any problems.
Not really. But shit can happen. And you may deal with it, you know, like a butterfly or a crocodile. Or a hummingbird. Life goes better with Reese's Pieces.
But it's impossible not to react in such a way if you're a hummingbird or a crocodile without imagination, no? I mean,
your whole life has actually occurred profoundly impersonally. Everything that you've felt, everything that you've done, every justification was just organically appearing. Action and reaction.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was likely to continue. Mm-hmm. What business is it of yours? Really? When you stop giving a shit about how you were a moment ago, or how it's going to roll for you a moment hence. Who cares how the life looks? But if you're carrying a bunch of pride around, and we're good at that.
But it's happening in the present, even that imagination. And so,
what is it that's happening in the present?
Well, whatever story about the future, and therefore.
See, there's no therefore. To suggest a therefore, I know. To suggest a therefore means something has to be primarily so that could possibly transmute into another thing. There is no therefore. It's just now again. It's just this again. Not even again.
This shift of perspective is doesn't seem to lend itself to a technique. At least, I don't know what it is exactly, except for just staying with it.
The technique is learn and unlearn.
Yeah.
Learn that you are untempered. Unlearn that you think you're the consequence of something. That's the technique. Hang out. Chill out. Get disturbed. That's it. That's the yoga. It's always been this way. Falter, come back. Falter, come back.
Well, it's, you know, stammer.
Stammer?
you know, those books I've read about Buddhism and meditation and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Talk about, like, okay, so you meditate, and this could happen, and then
right.
you can see beautiful visions and beautiful lights.
Yes.
But don't get caught up there, because, and that's not the whole point. Yeah, that's not the point.
Right.
So, that's a metaphor, even though we don't like metaphors here, but...
We don't like metaphors?
Do we? We don't? I don't know.
What do I speak in?
Yes.
We like metaphors.
What do I speak in?
I don't know. I'm confused. I can't remember what to do.
Yeah, really. What are the goddamn rules here? You keep changing them. You motherfucker. I swore I was going to come to this meeting and follow the goddamn rules. Now you've changed them again. Hate you. I hate this meeting.
Hate you.
I'm going to go next door and meditate where things go my way. And all the pretty colors show up.
Turn into light or whatever.
And I'm bringing my chocolate with me. So there.
No, not the chocolate.
No, please, don't leave. Don't take the chocolate.
Pelting it, you know.
Yeah. That's called prasad, when you pelt people with chocolate.
Take the chocolate over there and start chucking them at the meditation.
But I don't see, you know, why meditation can't be as good a word as any. You know, it's just, it's more, I would think, every day, every moment meditation, you know, instead of sitting on a cushion necessarily, you know.
Krishnamurti made a lot of fun of meditation, and so all of his students became, like, neurotic.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to meditate just naturally, organically, wanted to feel themselves, be quiet, be still, follow their bliss. But the master said, you know, don't make a thing of meditation. And so they felt like he was saying, oh, don't go meditate. So they all became neurotic. It was absurd.
Yeah, it's a story of my unborn life, but yeah.
Yep.
You're getting with the program.
It's good to have an unborn life.
She does catch on fast. Yes.
I was actually stillborn. This is just a dream.
That's a good point. But Jacob's ladder. But, movie reference of the night. Anyway.
It's like the Groucho Marx show.
What's my, or what was it?
Yeah, when the duck comes down.
Yeah. That's my line.
That was
Well, they, you know, don't get caught up in, that's not the, you know, that's not the end game.
Yeah.
Well, what the hell? I mean,
but this is, what if this is my what if this is the meditation, right? And
okay, yes. What if this is the meditation?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then get caught up. No harm done.
Hey, stop along the way, you know. See the sights.
Since you can't do anything right.
Yeah.
And you can't do anything wrong. Why would someone give you any instruction at all? They'd have to be some kind of idiot to do it. Which says a lot about the Hindus and Buddhists that give other people instruction. I mean, if you're learning to be a neurosurgeon, instruction's likely to come in handy. Or a sanitation professional, or an engineer, or a meditator. Instruction is likely to come in handy. But if becoming is off the table, what's the need of instruction? Right at you.
Becoming implies that it's not there yet.
Yes, it does. At a minimum, it implies one's not there yet, and there's a one who's not there yet. Being is not marred by time. If Here's the evidence. It's right here. Ideas about things are time. Psychological time is the movement and identification with ideas, as in conjuring a hypothetical universe in which one imagines one dwells, satisfactorily or otherwise. But being is not marred by time. Here's the evidence. Just this.
That's not to say that being doesn't notice time. Yes.
Some days being might be afflicted by time. Some days might not notice time.
The whole time thing is just a belief in the past and the future. That's what time is.
You could say time is a function of belief, or a belief is a function of time.
That I used to be 20 is nothing more than a story than a belief.
You still look good.
Okay, now you're going to knock me down again, I can tell you. Okay, where's the insult? I don't know what's coming.
Hey, you're 20 in this 60-year-old's point of view. Yeah, what was it that was 20 when it was that? Or two? Or gestating? It's cool. It's bizarre. You're allowed to imagine anything, and you will, because this does. This can. But this power, city of imagining, has nothing to do with brain or mind or memory. This imagining is autonomous. It's not the consequence of the biophysical field. The biophysical field happens to be the consequence of the profundity of your imagining. The biophysical field appears in the profundity of your imagining.
You get some clues on that when you hear about people's illnesses and miracle healing. It's not as...
You get the same clues when they die. Yeah, we're not looking for getting a leg up or an advantage over the biophysical, bioluminescent atmospheres. Do you really want to live forever? Jesus Christ.
That's already too long.
It's already been too long. And we're here for a flicker. It's already been too long. Why would you want to live forever? I mean, all of these men and women that are loaded with magical powers and skills and the ability to confound physics right? They die. Their certified students die too. All of the great Christian mystic healers are fucking dead. And everyone they healed, guess what? Fucking dead. And guess what? So will you be. Fucking dead.
Yogananda professes that there's one guy that's still hanging on.
You mean a dead guy professes that?
Yeah. Well, he did.
Where is he? Where is he at?
I don't know.
He's here in the Reese's bag. I wouldn't want to talk with him. He's so pissed off.
Yeah, he's here to
Could you imagine getting anywhere near his cave? He will throw poo at you. He's so pissed off.
Seems our rational minds, whatever that is, always ask the question, you know, this is about inquiry. It's like, why?
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 Why what?
Why do we imagine? Why do we have these projections or whatever it is? Why is self,
why is there anything at all?
Right.
And why does it look like this?
When you ask that question, you want an answer, which is what, you wouldn't be asking it to begin with.
Ours is not to question why. Ours is just to do and die. Mm-hmm. That's the old military.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Well, we're just doing.
Other than dying.
We're doing and dying. And that's the whole deal, right? Where's that get? I mean, what kind of possible answer could there be to why?
To the why question?
Yeah, I mean, in language, I mean, I think that it could be answerable.
Why?
No, I don't think so. I mean, but it would only be a referential response to it, right? I mean, the why could come from some deep satisfaction, I would say.
Why would you project all this stuff?
I've heard the Deepak Chopra answer, but
that's got to be the real one.
Well, I mean, certainly why.
What did he say?
In a referential sense, I mean, there's all kinds of whys.
I think it's something like.
I can't believe you remember it, first of all.
I can't remember it, and I can't remember it coherently.
Give it a shot.
You know, God wants to know itself, so it has to create it so that it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I have to say, like,
that never made any sense to me either.
Yeah.
Why do I care about why? Just tell me how.
Really?
You're more of a how, I'm more of a why.
Just give me some DMT.
I think it's natural to ask why, right? I mean, you're going to have an imagination. Some of it's going to be why the hell? Or I don't know. But I get what you're saying, too.
I mean, you're a therapist. That's all about why, right? I mean, especially, I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're selling
a Freudian therapist, but definitely.
I'm not a Freudian.
I'm not blaming you. I'm not condemning you as that. I would never think to do
that. You've never been that yet.
She's a Vedic therapist. She was trained by Deepak Chopra.
Are you certified, though?
Well, did anybody ever read the book? I'm sorry to interrupt you. Please.
All of it. Aren't all of these questions just constructs out of language?
Well, sure.
Not out of language.
Well, we use language as a device to conjure those. notions out. And then we think
Well, it's funny. Hasn't the conjuring already occurred before we even think or speak it?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think so.
So language as thought is original.
I don't know what its origin is. Thank you. Sorry. I wish I could tell you that.
Well, we'll check in from time to time. If you find out, send a postcard.
You know, it seems like there's just energy, and then all this referential thinking, it has this language component to it, right? I mean, I don't know.
It's a little confounding to take it on the chin that you're sourceless.
Sourceless, that you're really powerless, that you can't.
Well, hang on, but see, but
negotiate with this.
Well, but power, but powerless is already an accusation. Before you're powerless, before you can be accused of being powerful or powerless, I'm suggesting you're sourceless. You're not even here.
You're not anything. There's nothing.
Nothing.
Powerless.
You are a big zero. You are a big zero at 20, and you're a big zero now.
See, you knew he was going to bring you down, right?
Well, excuse me.
I figured it was coming sooner or later.
You see, sourceless suggests...
Right?
If I say language conjures, it's like, I don't think so, because language is an artifact already.
Mm-hmm.
If I say mind conjures, mind is an artifact. Show me the origin of this. You are sourceless.
Well, that's the beauty of death, isn't it?
I hope so.
Count on it. Yeah. Okay, Frank, pass the Kool-Aid.
But is there?
But the reason this is so beautiful, thanks to death.
Yes. Exactly.
Right. Those fuckers that try to sell you immortality, they don't understand how beautiful this is.
Can you say that there is no thread between source, or what happened, and bioluminescence?
No thread.
No thread.
No.
Yet.
Yet. No thread yet. That's the t-shirt.
I express. Yet I express.
Yeah, Descartes had, you know, a thing to say about it.
I think, therefore.
Well, yet I feel, yet I have...
Isn't it incredible? What is the origin of the irrefutability that is you?
It's not the symbiont. Right? Isn't that the right word?
What's that?
Symbiont. You know, sort of like the...
Symbiotic?
Who was it? The Borg?
Oh...
You know,
why not have a Star Trek reference in the middle of it all?
We have to lose once a session.
Spock! What the fuck?
You lose me about Star Trek. I mean nothing. That's on the rule list. You need to start
watching. That's right. You got some work to do.
Can you feel the weirdness that you are sourceless? That this is irrefutable in a word, in the manner of speaking, as a reflection on the texture of the on the confounding miracle of present experience. But it's sourceless.
How can we say that it's sourced or not?
Well, to say is easy. You can say either way, right, with ease. The invitation is to find the source that you think you are or that you're the consequence of.
I'm care.
But I thought you wanted to know why.
I don't care if I come from a source or not.
Okay, fair enough.
You just want to know why.
Yeah.
No, I mean, when you feel like you're in present moment and you're just kind of here.
Yeah.
You're here.
Yeah.
So, you know, does it matter if there's a source or not? Just here.
That could put a lid on the why. So where's the why then?
I don't know.
Whoa.
It just keeps coming up.
Why? Why are you here? Why is this here? Why is here-ness?
Yeah, that's the one that comes up for me. You know, not where, not the where. She's got the how. I've got the why.
Yeah.
He's got the from where.
Who wants what?
I'm not going to own anything.
Right. No, you were saying about the source, though. Where?
Well, yeah, no, I'm just saying, how can we say source or non-source or no source? You know, it's just another imponderable.
Everything I had, I pawned. And I don't have a penny to buy any of it back with.
We're all gypsies.
I'm comfortable. Okay.
Yeah.
I love the gold earrings and the hoops.
A smart gypsy.
Gypsy Rose Lee, maybe.
I like the fur.
I'm here for the bling.